This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, our world is changing, and all the things that I want to do are being slowly eroded and taken away from me. Yet, good old Nancy Pelosi, she can go get her hair cut when the salons are closed, but we can't. No. Oh, don't get me going. Don't get me going. Ed Justice Jr. is on the line. Justice Brothers, the last time I think I went to a race with my buddy, my motorsports maniac buddy, Ed Justice Jr., was the Indy 500. It's probably been 10 years ago. And I do believe I had the best time ever with Ed, because Ed is part of the Old Timers Club, which is people that have been for decades upon decades, and he's one of them. And Ed, I think your guys is going to be your 75th Indy 500 for the family, the Justice Brothers family.
That's correct. The first one for our family was 1946, which was the first race after World War II. Of course, the track did not operate during World War II or World War I. And we've been involved ever since that first race. The first race after the war, my uncle was on the winning crew. Wow. And with George Robson. And so ever since that time, we've been involved either on the crew or a car owner or a sponsor or some way as a participant.
Right. Well, that's why when we were talking, you know, Ed and I talk about stuff all the time. And Ed used to be the host of Road and Track Magazine's radio show, where I was the host of Car and Driver's radio show, mostly leaning into the world of motorsport with Ed. And me, it was new car test drives and all that kind of stuff. But before that, 20-some-odd years ago, Ed was on my show as kind of a co-host, which he still does with me all the time on this show. But I go, so you didn't go to Indy? And he's like, nope. And I'm like, wow. So I thought maybe we should talk a little bit about that, because your perspective shined a different kind of a light on it. And, you know, the one thing you said that struck me is, you know, it's like hardly anybody win. I mean, racers win and there are support teams for that. But, you know, media, people that are fans, because, you know, like the restaurants aren't open and, you know, I mean, it's a different world. It's almost like we've slipped into an alternate world. You know what I mean?
That's right. You know, I mean, we were going to, because it was our 75th year, we had a big trip for the whole family planned. And that slowly got whittled to me only going just because of, you know, the hassle, et cetera, potential restrictions. And then that went from my flights being changed multiple times because of what the airline industry is going through.
Right.
And just a lot of changes. And then at a certain point, seeing how all the other racing events that we have not been going to this year because of, really, I mean, it's a very, very tight restrictions. So much so that at some of the racing events, the driver can't bring their wife in the pits. The car owner can't bring their wife in the pits, et cetera. I mean, it's nothing but just, quote, those who need to be there. And so I saw early on that this didn't look like it was going to be really a worthwhile trip to make, because you're not going to be able to go anywhere, do anything, et cetera.
Right.
And so I canceled out actually earlier than some, but I guess you could say I was way ahead of the curve. Unfortunately, I wish I didn't say it this way, but Alan, you know, you've been to the media center there at the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Just to show you how restricted it was, the media was allowed in that media center, and it, you know, that's a big area, and it has plenty of room for a lot of social distancing. But in spite of that, they would not allow the public relations people from the teams, et cetera, to go into the media center to see members of the media.
Jeez. Well, at that point, it seems like they should just stay home and watch it on TV because they'll get a just as good of a view and not have to be sequestered like that into the media center, you know?
Well, that's what I did. And you know, I called a good friend of mine who's very connected and a longtime friend of Roger Penske's. And I called him after the event and I said, hey, did you go? And he goes, no, I didn't go. And this fellow, you know, has access to a private jet. And I said, you didn't? He goes, no, the restrictions were just too great.
Yep.
So just to give you an example, here's somebody who, you know, quote, had the connections, had a way to get there direct with a private jet that most of us don't have, et cetera.
Right.
And even for somebody like that,
it was too much.
It was not worth going.
All right, hang tight. Ed Justice is the president and CEO of Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. They make products for the service department that probably services your new car. You can find them at justicebrothers.com. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Indy 500 that was, it was run, and it was really late. And Ed wasn't there. Neither was I. Neither was a lot of people. Kind of weird. It is The Drive. We'll be right back. Up and down this road. Up and down this road. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. So how is your life out there in the world? You know, I don't care who you are. This COVID, Wuhan Chinese COVID virus thing and the political warfare games that are taking place, psychological, chemical warfare garbage that is going on in our world is putting the kibosh on our fun. Damn it. My apologies. Ed Justice. So, you know, the last time you and I were there together, I mean, we hung out with some amazing names from history from the Indy 500. Parnelli Jones, A.J. Foyt. I mean, these are names. And, Ed, you've known these guys pretty much your whole life. And it's like, and then I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't this the year that like a tornado or a twister or something came in and everybody had to go in the bathrooms? Was that the year, the last time we were together there?
We were together that year, that's for sure. But I think we've been together there after that.
Okay, I wasn't sure. It all blurs, you know.
You were still at the track. You ended up, I remember, evacuating into a restroom, if I remember yeah, right.
With about 50 other people.
Yeah, exactly. Great place to hang out with 50 people. But anyway, we were already down at the airport, and I was with Parnelli Jones, my wife, and I, and one of our daughters, my daughter Courtney, and we all got evacuated down into the baggage claim area, which was the lowest part of the airport.
Oh, geez.
And we were all sitting on the floor in the baggage claim area waiting for that thing to blow over. Now, it came very close to the airport. It, on the other side of the airfield, it took the roof off the FedEx facility.
Wow.
And remember, I don't think it got that close to the track, but you know, you never know which way those things are going to go.
I know. Scary. So, you know, I know there was a lot of controversy around this particular Indy 500, not just the fact that they had to move the date and the COVID garbage we're dealing with. And I say that, listen, I understand COVID is a real thing, but I think that we're starting to find out now from the World Health Organization that not near as many people have actually died from COVID as they were suspecting. It's pre-existing problems that assisted in the death of a lot of these people. So the regular workaday Joe and fan of racing and all these other different things that were being affected by it, we're having to stay in our homes, but then that has its own ripple effect of suicides and drug overdoses and all kinds of things. What a perilous, crazy world that we're living in. You know what I mean? But the controversy was that the race ended under a yellow flag. What do you think about that, Ed?
Well, it's not uncommon at Indianapolis to have that happen. I mean,
a guy got hurt, you know? I mean, you would think that would have been a black flag, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't even watch it. But you tell me.
Yeah, red flag. Well, here's the thing.
Or red flag. Thank you. Yes.
They've got contingencies all planned out. First of all, it was, what, two or three laps from the end. And, you know, you can't really, these cars today, necessarily stop them out on the track, per se. They got to come back to the pits. And so that accident happened at the entrance to the pits.
Ah.
And so, you know, when those carbon fiber cars hit, there's no way to really express this. I'll try to do the best I can.
All right, well, hold on. But do it on the other side of the break, because I don't want to get halfway in the middle of it. We got to take a break. We're talking about the Indy 500. A lot of controversy. Finished on a yellow. Ed Justice Jr. been going for how many years, Ed, for you?
For me, I think this was my, quote, 44th.
Oh, my gosh. And had to miss it this year. Anyway, our world is disrupted. We'll take a little break and be right back with more. Ed's going to try and explain it a little better for us. Stay with us.
The latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm talking with my buddy Ed Justice Jr. We've been doing radio together for a couple of decades or so. Ed used to be the host of Road and Track Magazine's radio show. It was called Road and Track Speed Radio. I did Car and Driver Magazine's radio show at the same time. And we would find ourselves at all kinds of events together doing both these different shows. And the Indy 500 was one of those places. Ed, you know, we were talking about the flags and the different meanings of them. I got confused there for a second, didn't I?
Yeah, you said black flag. No problem. Black flag is if they want to pull a single competitor off the track, they'll black flag that competitor, and that means go back to the pits. And if there's an issue, if it's a penalty, they have to do it, or they need to talk to the competitor, whatever. But that gets a single competitor back in the pits. Red flag is when they literally stop the race.
So if there's a red and black flag, that means the plague is coming. And that's when everybody just drives the race cars right out the parking lot and out of the state. The plague! Oh, I know. I joke around too much about this plague thing. Anyway, so you were at you were going to be at the Indy 500. You didn't go. We were talking about the fact that they didn't stop the race, even though somebody got hurt. And the reason was, and you were about to give the long version of why, and because I think there were some people that got pretty upset that somebody had gotten hurt, gotten out of the car, and then collapsed. I didn't watch it. I'm going off of what Stephen Cole Smith told me last week.
Let's a couple of these scenarios. Number one, there was debris at the entrance to the pits, so they couldn't bring them in the pits.
Right.
It's tough enough when a car crashes into the wall with a carbon fiber structure that they have today. Carbon fiber can break like glass at a certain point. And now I forget how many, 7-9 times stronger than steel and all. It's great stuff. But when it does fail sometimes, it does break like a bottle almost. And, you know, people say, no, well, that's not true. Well, you know, go on the internet and search for Ferrari carbon fiber crashes or race car crashes or whatever. It does fail at a certain point. Doesn't matter who it is, the brand, whatever. So that carbon fiber, when it does that, it's like glass. I mean, if you ever get a single little piece of carbon fiber in your finger, like you might get a metal burr or whatever, right, it's way worse than that. It festers like no other. So really? The stuff's bad stuff.
Wow.
In certain conditions. Okay, now the other thing is, well, if they could just let them run around out there, and then we'll do a green, white checker like NASCAR does. Well, you can't do that at this point, because a lot of people have played this race based on maybe missing a fuel stop or doing a short fill up in order to get out of the pits quicker. And so now you completely change that strategy, and that's not fair.
Right.
If they were going to win the race on a good strategy in the allotted number of laps that was agreed upon before this wreck happened, then now you're going to change the makeup.
Right.
So you'd have a winner potentially. So how could that be fair? So, hey, look, it, nobody likes to see a yellow flag, but it has happened many times at Indianapolis. And you know what? Looking at it, here's what I would say. You don't want to wait till that last lap, last turn at Indianapolis
to make your run
to make
it.
The pass,
right,
like they do in NASCAR,
right?
Because, you know, here it was.
Yep.
I mean, if Scott Dixon was going to do that, well, guess what? The yellow flag took that opportunity. So
right,
maybe you need to make the pass 10 laps from the end, like Sato did.
Right.
And look, there's always somebody that's going to end up on the short end of a deal like this.
Yeah, for
so,
sure. Well, I hope. I got my fingers crossed. I hope that this stupid thing that we're dealing with, and I do believe that it's finally, people are waking up and they're going, all right, look, you know, I have friends that have had it. Have you had any friends that have had the COVID yet?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. In fact, I've had a lot of friends who have had it that didn't know they had it,
right,
or had minimal effects. And then I have had one friend that was in the hospital for 120 days. He's older.
Yep.
Older, and definitely in that more vulnerable group, for sure.
Well, you know, my business partner, John McConnell, had it, who was used to be the head of ABC. They told him he was going to die. They gave him some hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, a few other things, Z-Pak and zinc and whatever, you know, it was all the stuff that Trump said. Anyway, he got better and he walked out of the hospital a couple days later. He goes from being, you know, going to be dying, saying goodbye to his family. And I love you. I love you. I love you. And then, you know, they gave him the right stuff and he got better. But I know a lot of people now that have had it, but I do also know some people that have had it and died. So it's nothing to, you know, to make fun of, but it is something to be cautious of. But you know what? To lock down our whole country, I just think is a rough situation. And I'm a little bit upset about it. As you know, people know I'm pretty transparent about it. But
well,
anyway,
we've learned a lot in 6 months, and yes, we know who the real vulnerable people are.
That's right.
And now it's just recently, as far as I know, this morning, the steroid treatment shows some real promise.
Yep.
Apparently, the last thing you want to do is put somebody on a ventilator.
I know, right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, Ed Justice Jr., thank you for giving us the kind of the rest of the story about that Indy 500. It was a bit of a fiasco, unfortunately, for many that wanted to go. Ed Justice, you can find him at justicebrothers.com on the web. 3W's.justicebrothers.com. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Alan. Nice to talk with you.
Take care of the family. Give Susan a kiss for me. We'll be right back, everybody. It is The Drive.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. My buddy George Kennedy III is on. He is a Jeep connoisseur. And you know, he's on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. And for some reason, Jeep decides to do this unveiling of their car at 6 o'clock in the morning, my time. Did I get out of bed? No, because I figured George would be up by 9 a.m. on the East Coast, and he would hear about it and tell me all about it. So Grand Wagoneer, they finally have told you guys about it. Not me, because I wasn't up, but what did you hear, George? And what did you see?
Hey, you just got to get up earlier than that, man. I don't care what time zone you're in. This is it's the Grand Wagoneer. It's a three-row, full-size SUV.
Wow.
And from the early looks, I mean, this has been kind of talked about for a while, especially with a lot of hype, considering that a Commander was unveiled for the Chinese market that was three rows, conjuring up the Commander SUV, their three-row SUV from like a decade ago.
Right.
And to be honest, if you've seen those shots of the Chinese Commander, this is kind of similar in some angles. In the rear, you can kind of tell it's similar architecture. But from the front, it's definitely got some Wagoneer cues. It's kind of got that electric razor grill that you saw on a lot of the Grand Wagoneers back in the day. And I should note that this is a production, this is a concept. So I would call it a production-ready concept, right? It's a concept, but I think what you're looking at is going to be very close to the production vehicle.
So Grand Wagoneer versus the Grand Cherokee, right? So they have a Cherokee, a Grand Cherokee, and now a Grand Wagoneer. And three rows, what is it powered by?
Well, we don't know yet, and that's where the concept part comes into play. You know, maybe they're talking about new engine architecture, I'm not sure, but you know, there's been no confirmation on what's powering it to the concept point. But what's interesting is that they mentioned that this is the beginning of growing the Wagoneer sub-brand. They're kind of creating a luxury sub-brand at the higher end of the market. So I don't know if that means a higher luxury version of the Grand Cherokee, sort of like the Overland trim.
Right.
But it's saying that they are expanding into the luxury SUV market. And it's a clever way to do it because, you know, the old wisdom would be, well, you could use Chrysler for that, but they're not a whole lot's been going on over there. And that wouldn't be, there's not a lot of momentum behind that brand. So it'd be hard sell to bring some Chrysler luxury SUV in. It's just a no brainer to go with a high end SUV for under the Jeep brand, but the Wagoneer or Grand Wagoneer sub brand.
It's very interesting to see that this brand Jeep has now given birth to all these different, you know, you have, let's start at the top with this brand new Grand Wagoneer, which they've had before. So it's the rebirth of the Grand Wagoneer, Grand Cherokee, Cherokee, Wrangler, Gladiator pickup truck. What am I missing? There's another little car in there somewhere. Patriot. Are they going to continue making
the Patriot, the Compass?
Are they going to continue making those kind of car based little things?
So I think, well, that's the thing. I mean, look, SUVs, big or small, luxury or non-luxury, are red hot right now. And I mean, just think to a time when this brand was, you know, being kicked around from AMC to whomever, and, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And now it's just perfectly positioned to take on all these different segments and subsegments.
Yeah, which is really weird. Let's hope they don't do what AMC did and try to make a Jeep Eagle car again. You know what I mean?
I don't see that happen.
Ugliest thing on earth.
But yes, there's new synergies. There's a partnership with, I forget if it's Peugeot or Renault, but who knows? Maybe we can get some weird powertrain crossovers as a result of that.
Golly. But it's interesting. You know, I mean, there was a Wrangler, right? There was a Jeep Wrangler. Pretty much that was it. And then they made a Jeep truck for a little while. What'd they call the Comanche or the Commander?
The Comanche. Oh, I love the Comanche. Yeah, there was a J8 or the J10 before that.
Yeah, full but they, size. So they've kind of, you know, went back and forth and around making different ones. But right now, man, they've got a pretty killer lineup, with the exception of what I'll call the oddballs, which are the Patriot, Compass, you know, whatever those are.
Right, but they exist in the funny thing is they exist in red hot markets where I bet a lot of their sales and their margin is made in those sort of oddballs. And what's funny is that we just talked about the Comanche, right? As a brand 30, 40 years ago, Jeep was sort of a fringe brand. It was an enthusiast brand. But now, because of crossovers being like the red hot market, they're in the meat of the market now, and it allows them to do new and unique things like offer, you know, reintroduce pickup trucks, reintroduce the Grand Wagoneer.
So the Grand Wagoneer, then, would you say it was like you saw, you know, pictures or renderings of it? What did they show? Video? What did they
show? Yeah, I mean, they've been showing a full gallery of it inside and out. One thing to note for the interior. So one thing just to get out of the way is that no wood paneling on the side, as far as I can tell. Okay.
BJ was going, I want the wood paneling. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Let's nip that right in the butt. Yeah. But the grill, when you see it, the grill absolutely has that Grand Wagoneer look to it. Inside, it's got a really high end modern luxury interior. You would be forgiven for mistaking this for like a Range Rover interior, because it's got the dual touchscreens in the center console, and the lower set of the lower touchscreen operates like your HVAC controls and whatnot.
Interesting. Okay, here's a trivia question for you. Let's see how much of a Jeep guy you are. What did they call that strange looking thing that looked like an ant body, where it had a bulbous round front end and a pickup back end? And I don't know the answer, so if you don't
wait,
know.
Say that again.
So they back in the 60s, I think it was, or early 70s, they made a truck that had, it was like a crew cab, or maybe it was a three-door, that had a kind of almost like a round body to it, like a pod that sat on the front and then had a pickup bed.
Oh, like the forward control, right?
You tell me. I think
it was a forward control. It was a cab over design.
Yeah,
right?
Cab over, exactly. What a weird thing, man.
It's all the forward control. Yep, and I got to drive one of their, the Jeep had a kind of a remake of one of those a number of years back, and I got to drive it. Really cool.
And it's
really
called, wait a minute, it's called the forward control, right? That's weird.
That's right.
That is bizarre. All right, hang tight. We're talking with George Kennedy. He's from Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. This guy writes for everybody. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. The 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks to our friends at Subaru and the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. We're talking about cars and some of the new vehicles that are being revealed. And it's all different now because of the COVID-19 stuff. We can't go see them. We can't go drive them. And it's difficult, but we're doing it anyway. George Kennedy III is here. They unveiled the new Grand Wagoneer. The embargo was just lifted, so you could probably Google Jeep Grand Wagoneer. Is it a 2021 or 2022? What are they calling that thing?
Well, as I mentioned, they're saying it's a concept, but they are saying that a production version will be built next year, and it's going to be built in the greater Detroit area.
All right, so it's possibly a 2021, maybe a 2022. All right, did they talk any about this Wrangler E or whatever they're calling it? What are they calling it?
Yeah, they did. So that the Wrangler 4XE.
4XE,
Wrangler? That's a Wrangler plug-in hybrid.
So like 4x4, but it's 4xE.
Got it. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Right, and it's building on existing technology. It's building on the four-cylinder e-assist turbocharged motor, and they're adding, you know, a transmission basically a transmission hybrid motor to it. And they're saying the whole system is going to get 375 horsepower, 25 miles of pure electric range.
Wow.
So, look, I'm one of the sort of more rugged Jeep enthusiasts. I like my Rubicons and stuff, but you can see the advantage, especially for the broader market of folks that, you know, aren't off-roading it on the weekends. But I'd also say that, you know, they're offering a Rubicon version of this, which says to me there are definite off-road applications for electrification. Yeah.
Well, I think that it's kind of interesting because you may have more advantages here than you would consider, because when you have electric power, forget about the fact that it's quiet and it's clean, but let's just talk about how you're able to really feather the gas pedal and make it do what you want to do, where when you have an internal combustion engine, you're dealing with kind of this this crazy internal combustion thing versus having the precision of
the throttle articulation.
Yeah, because when you're climbing rocks and things like they do on the Rubicon Trail, you talk about a Rubicon Edition. Imagine the pure a scalpel. You'd be able to make clean cuts.
So,
you know.
So yes and no to that, and the reason I say that is I had the opportunity to test a electric version of a Land Rover Range Rover about 2 years ago, and obviously things have come a long way since then. But one thing, a couple things I took away from that. One is that yes, you have all that torque at zero RPM, and that allows incredible articulation of throttle application. You also get regen going downhill, which allows for some sort of crawl control. But the one thing I observed when test driving that electric Range Rover was that sort of almost like an RC car, when you went from no throttle to just like a feather of a throttle, there was almost a binary power application. And that's not good for the trail because you start to kind of slip the wheels away. I have a feeling that they've evolved this to where it eases in on the throttle, but that is one thing to watch out for with pure EV on the trail, is that there's almost like a bit of an off and on motion. But once you're crawling, there's a lot of upside for electrification.
Well, there's going to be a whole learning curve for the 4xE, 4x4, 4xE electric Wrangler. But it's a hybrid, though. So 25 miles of range. Now, I think the hunters are going to go, hoo-yah! Because now they can sneak up on their prey, if you know what I'm saying.
They creep up on a buck, yeah, sure.
You know?
And also, too, like, not just the electric range, but this, you know, theoretically should extend your entire fuel range, which allows you to get farther out into the mountains, right?
Yeah, right. I went down a dirt road. I shouldn't say down. I went on a dirt road for about 30 miles last weekend on a welfare check. My attorney calls me, he goes, hey, do you know anybody that is willing to go? And I'm like, go how far? It was like 2.5 hours each way to see if this old pot farmer is alive. And so I said, well, maybe one of my kids will do it. So my oldest son, he's like, I'll do it, you know, and he got paid for doing it. And then the more I found out about it, I thought, this is odd. It's out in the middle of literally nowhere, 25 or 30 miles. I don't know why I didn't gauge it, but it took us an hour down a dirt road, logging roads, and we were using GPS to find our way. But I was in the Nissan Murano all-wheel drive, the LS loaded. And I got to tell you, man, today's all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive vehicles are so amazing, so seamless when you're going, you know, down these roads. And I was at a certain point, I was like drifting. You know, here is a SUV, a luxury SUV, and I'm drifting down these. And I was like, man, this is amazing, right? I forgot about that. Yeah, we're probably going to get shot at here in a little while. But and I have a feeling that there is going to be a learning curve on this Wrangler, though, because they've been out there so long and people have gotten used to them. They've gotten better and better and better. So I hope for Jeep's sake that this new 4xE Wrangler hybrid, I hope that it delivers in spades for those who know their vehicles really well, because there's going to be high expectations. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. As you said, crossovers have come a long way to the point where they're actually capable off the road now. Jeep has always been capable off the road. And then the critique has been, well, they're, you know, you're doing it with sort of old school driveline technology. This updates that in a big way without giving up the things that make a Jeep great.
Yep.
So I like to see it when new technology is applied to what makes a vehicle so special.
Yep. All right. Well, you could probably just Google, because they just lifted the embargo on the Grand Wagoneer and the 4XE, like 4x4, but 4xE Wrangler hybrid. We'll be right back with more of George Kennedy. Stay with us. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
George Kennedy's joining us, Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. He's a freelance automotive journalist, but he's also the co-founder of Cartender. Automotive brilliance. That's a compliment there, George.
I wouldn't go that far. Sure.
I don't give them very often, so you might as well take it. So I know you've been driving the Alfa Romeo Giulia. And, you know, I will say I've driven the vehicle. I haven't driven one in maybe 2 years. So I'm sure you've got, you know, the newest iteration of whatever it is there. As I remember, it was a pretty hot car. What's your take on it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's one of those vehicles that feel special. It's a sedan, which as crossovers become more ubiquitous, sort of the performance luxury sedan is kind of becoming not niche, but it's again one you're like, wow, these are special cars. And you know, Alfa Romeos, you hop in one and it really doubles down on the Italianness of it. It's got a tricolor right down by the shifter. You've got the cursive Alfa Romeo script on the calipers. And like you said, you drove it 2 years ago. What has changed is the interior. They've updated the infotainment system. They've not gone to the latest Chrysler Uconnect 5. It's sort of its own side version of that. It almost emulates BMW's iDrive, sort of with the big cards you could cycle through. It is a touchscreen, finally, which I'm happy about. It's got Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. You still have the little dial control down at the bottom if you want to use that. It's still the infotainment is a little wonky, you know, since probably their first time out. I bet they'll dial this in a little bit better, but there's definitely some menu hiccups with that car. But the car really isn't about the infotainment system. It's about the drive. And I love getting in cars like this that it's you look at this car and it's kind of got a long nose and a short rear deck. You sit very central in the car. And it just reminds you how great it is to be like in a nice dialed in sedan that's all about cornering. It only has 280 horsepower, which say only, but that's not a ton for performance considering that there's a Quadrifoglio version with 550 horse. This thing's all about taking a corner, and it is just an absolute blast taking up New England back roads.
Isn't this the one with the Ferrari built engine?
So that's the Quadrifoglio, which is Italian for four leaf clover, and I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but yeah, that has a 2.9 liter V6, which is basically a Ferrari V8 with two cylinders lopped off. Mm. That I wish I had driven that car. That car is like 505 horsepower. Mm. That car is supposed to be a bruiser. It's one. I mean, outside of like the NSX and the Ford GT40, it's one of the fastest V6 cars out there.
Wow. So this one doesn't have that engine then. It just has a smaller.
No, it's got a turbocharged inline four, 2 liters, 280 horse.
Okay. How much money was it then? Because this was the lesser expensive of the two. Because I know the one with the Ferrari engine is like, wow.
Right. So this is the Giulia Ti Sport all-wheel drive. So I would say this is like kind of mid to upper pack.
Okay.
And it starts at 43.
Okay.
But with options, you are up to 58 and change.
Oh, my goodness. What that tells you, if you're going to go up to the Quadrifoglio, and like you said, it's one of those words you look at it and go, there's a G in there that's silent, I think. Foglio. But anyway,
well, that's not even for the Quadrifoglio. Where a lot of the options are is the driver assistance package. That's one big thing they added for this year, is a lot of advanced driver assistance features, some quasi self-driving tech, and that's like a $3,200 package.
Ooh. Yeah, but you add that
upgraded leather, performance stuff, you're at 58.
Yeah, but add the Ferrari V6 and it'll just, you're over 60 easily, I'm sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're well above that, actually. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. But you know what? Listen, you're going to be the only guy on the block, maybe the only guy in your small town, maybe the only guy you're going to see for weeks that's driving one of these. There's not a lot of them out there. I think that Alfa Romeo is probably looking to sell some, and there may be some good deals to be had because we live in a COVID world right now, and the average people that were buying them, you know, everybody just kind of went on pause. Now it's starting to loosen up a little bit, but I was driving the Alfa Romeo Stelvio the other day, the SUV, and my brother goes, man, I almost bought one of those brand new 2019. I thought, really? Of course, Portland, Oregon, you know, I mean, it's a little different market up there. But anyway, George, thank you, sir, for being with us today and talking about these cars. I needed somebody to give me an update on the Grand Wagoneer. If you want to find George, you can find him at Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. He's the 6'5" handsome guy with a beard. You still have a beard? Maybe he shaved it off. I don't know.
No, I shaved the beard, but the hair is down to my shoulders.
The long hair Neanderthal. All right, we'll take a little break. Thank you again, George. Appreciate it. Neanderthal. I don't know. If we can't edit that out, I'm sorry. We'll be right back. It is The Drive. From London back down to the U.S. We rockin' this container. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, next week, we have something coming up called Maserati Day. And, you know, I haven't heard much about Maserati for a little while, so we dialed up FCA and said, give us somebody to talk to about the new Maseratis that are coming out. You know, I mean, all this COVID stuff has got everybody working from home and all that. But Andy Love, who's joining us right now, he's the director of the brand and sales for Maserati North America. And I think he's got some fun stuff, some horsepower-filled stuff to tell us about. Andy, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, Al.
Yeah, first of all, what is Maserati Day?
Yeah, so it's kind of the birth of our new era. And it sounds funny to say, but what's effectively the big part of it is we're going to reveal our all-new sports car, the MC20. Nice. That's going to be kind of the bell of the ball at that. But there's going to be a lot of other stuff that goes around it that kind of issues us into the new era and kind of goes over what our future is. So it's a big day. It's got a little bit delayed because of COVID, but now it's coming out next Wednesday. So.
All right. So the MC20 sports car, is this the one? Because I know you guys had revealed some 3-liter V6 that was designed and built by Maserati. I know that all the other engines are built by Ferrari, which is, I think, a little bit of a secret to the rest of the world. The consumers that are enthusiasts know about this, but this relationship that Maserati has with Ferrari is pretty cool. But this particular engine, 621 horsepower, out of a 3-liter V6, that's pretty powerful, man, in a V6.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, as you said, all of our current engines, all of our twin-turbo V6s and V8s today are engineered by Maserati, but they are built by Ferrari Maranello. Nice. But this new engine, the Nettuno engine that's going to go in the MC20 is the first engine that we are going to engineer, design, and build. And it's, you know, wickedly powerful for how small it is. So, I mean, V6, 3 liter, there's a little bit of F1 technology in the twin spark chamber, and
nice.
You're getting almost, what, 207 horsepower per liter is it's insane.
It is, yeah. Completely insane. So this MC20 sports car going to be unveiled on Wednesday. So you guys next week, look for it. It's MC20 Maserati for Maserati Day. But you also have this new high-performance collection. It's called the Trofeo?
Yeah, the Trofeos, yep.
So what do you got there?
Yeah, we just announced those about a month ago. We've had a Levante Trofeo, our SUV, out for a little while, about a year. But this is our highest performance trim across all three. So you're talking a 3.8 liter, 580 horse V8 that will be in Levante, which is our midsize SUV, the Ghibli, which is our midsize sedan, and then the Quattroporte, which is more of our larger sedan. So, I mean, a ton of performance, the highest performance we've ever had in the Ghibli and the Quattroporte. I mean, you're talking, you know, these cars, top speeds over 200 miles an hour. So fastest, really road-going cars we've ever made.
Right. So
from that standpoint.
When everybody else is pivoting away from sedans, you guys are making a 200-mile-an-hour sedan for the roads of America, which I happen to love. You know that. Oh, yes. Well, you know what?
For
let's,
sure.
Let's let you take that call or whatever that noise just was.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. He's working from home, everybody, because of this Wuhan coronavirus thing we're having to all live with. We're talking with Andy Love. He's the director of the brand and sales and marketing for Maserati North America. Talk a little bit more about this Trofeo brand. 200-mile-an-hour sedans, Maserati. We'll be right back.
If the sky comes falling down for you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do. Hey, brother.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, this song is by Chickenfoot. It's called Sexy Little Thing. And you know what? When you're talking about Maserati, you talk about styling, sexiness, now massive horsepower. But if you've never driven a Maserati, do yourself a favor. The exhaust note. I remember I was at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles one time, and they have this parking garage, and I had a Maserati, and I started it up, and I think that 25 people, I saw heads from every car and every area and doors opening, and people want to say, what was that that just started up? Because it's rumba, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it just sounds so good. We're talking with Andy Love. He's the director of the brand and sales and marketing for Maserati North America. The exhaust note, by the way, thank you for that exhaust note on every Maserati. They're wonderful. So we were talking about the styling and sexiness and of course, now 200-mile-an-hour sedans. What about the Levante, the SUV that you guys make? Does that also hit 200 miles an hour? That's a pretty good-sized vehicle.
Yeah, no, it's close though. 187 is the no slouch at 187 horse for a midsize SUV.
187 miles an hour, yeah. So this also comes with this V8 you're talking about, the same Trofeo package.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Levante is our best selling vehicle right now, at least in North America. And it comes with a V8. You're talking, 3.8, 0-60, 580 horse. So It's quick, for sure.
Christmas, 580 horsepower. I love that. So now, you're going to have the MC20 sports car. You're going to have the Ghibli, which is kind of a mid-size sedan. You're going to have the Quattroporte, which is a Do you consider that a full-size sedan?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit bigger than a Panamera. I mean, Panamera is kind of in between a Ghibli and a Quattroporte.
Yeah,
it's a full-size.
And yep. Levante, anything else down the road? I know Wednesday is the day you're going to talk about the State of the Union when it comes to Maserati, but, I mean, that's a nice sports car, sedan, medium and larger sedan and SUV. Do you need anything else?
Yeah, no, we're going to, I mean, can't get into when and where, but we do have other models coming. And we are going to have a smaller SUV that will be coming as well to complement the lineup. As you obviously well know, this market has really switched to SUVs. So that'll help us kind of go after the smaller part of, Levante.
Right.
And that's a big thing. Plus, we'll have an all new GT, GC, our Gran Turismos, coupe and convertible, have all new versions of those coming out as well. In addition to,
beautiful.
So a lot of stuff coming, and it's right around the corner. I mean, we just started announcing stuff this last month in August.
Yeah.
With the Trofeos, and next month it's our sports car, and then shortly thereafter, hopefully you'll start seeing some others.
Give me 2 minutes because we were talking about Alfa Romeo a little bit, car and technology. And technology is such a big thing. These cars also have pretty much everything you could possibly want in tech, right? And safety.
Yeah, for sure. And especially, you get all the way up into the Trofeos and everything's almost standard on the cars, whether it's the level 2 driving, autonomous driving. It's the, we have Corsa mode now on all these, or race mode with launch control. We now have connectivity with virtual assistants, wireless CarPlay, which I'll tell you, as a person that is quite, I check on the battery of my cell phone all the time. I kind of track it. Having a wireless CarPlay is fantastic. You don't have to plug it in every single time you get in the car.
I know. I mean, shame on the car companies that haven't adopted that yet. You know what I mean? It's like, really? I mean, we are this far along. It's something that is so important because people are addicted to their devices, and you have to make it to where they don't have to do anything when they get in that car. It just automatically connects because once you, pair the two, it's just an important factor, I think, for today's world.
For sure. And it's so seamless. You get it once you pair it the first time, you never have to take it out of your pocket, and it replicates everything on your phone just like normal CarPlay.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, we're also adding wireless charging, so you can literally just throw it down, charge it wirelessly if you want to. I mean, there's all sorts of new features for us this year with the radios. They're also getting larger and better, faster, like any other, TV. It just keeps getting bigger, better, and faster.
Yep. Now, is there a place that people can go and check out Maserati Day on your website? Is it, Maserati, or I know that you call it MMXX Day. What should they do?
Yeah, just go to MaseratiUSA.com. It's already, there's already a link up to it, so you can click on that, and it'll tell you. I think it actually can set a reminder for you on calendar if you want, or you can just see the countdown. But MaseratiUSA.com is where you go.
That's perfect. All right, Maserati Day next Wednesday. If you guys want to watch and see what's going on there, they're going to be launching the MC20, 621 horsepower, 3-liter V6, 203-mile-an-hour sedan, the Ghibli, 187-mile-an-hour SUV, the Levante, and more to come from Maserati. Andy Love, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a little break. There's more right here on The Drive. Stay with us.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, every now and then, you got to talk to one of your buddies in the shower. And here he is from his shower, Josh Hancock. Well, it sounds like it's a very brisk shower, Josh. Good Lord. Okay, wait. So you're in the shower. Just don't look down, anybody. Just keep eye contact. Don't all look right. down. All right.
Okay.
So, because I don't know. He wanted to do the show from the shower, and I said, okay. Anyway.
Well, look, I zoom from the shower, so why not do the show from the shower?
Let's not get into your personal habits, all right?
Oh, please.
Anyway, he actually is driving just to clean things up here a little bit.
I am driving, yes.
Josh, so the show is called The Drive, so I think it's perfectly appropriate, and you're driving using hands-free to talk on the phone, so we're safe.
There you go.
We talked a little bit about the Grand Wagoneer. While we have continued through the show, I Googled photographs of it, and they're out there, you guys.
Yeah.
This is a big vehicle. What do you think of it?
Well, you know, I think we've been waiting a long time for a Jeep to come to the table here. I mean, I think they've missed out on a lot of years because they didn't have something big enough to compete. And I think it's a segment they definitely should be in. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Well, they had that Commander or whatever they called that thing, which, you know, I didn't think it was that bad, but it just wasn't that good. And that's the problem. It's like you either got to, you know, go for the gusto.
Right.
And from what I'm hearing, rumor is that you can spend over $100,000 on this thing. So the reality is that it's kind of like a cross between a Jeep Commando of the old and a Range Rover. You know what I mean? Because it kind of has a little bit of a Range Rover look to it, I think, personally.
You know, look, Jeep is a brand that and I'm going to speak for Hollywood because I live here and I get a lot of cars for a lot of people. They will not look at a lot of other American brands. Absolutely not. They will not look at a Tahoe or a Expedition or an Explorer, but if it's a Jeep Grand Cherokee, oftentimes they will go, okay, it's a Jeep, I can do that. And that's because of Jeep's branding and the feeling like it is, you know, it's okay for that set. And I think that's why the Grand Wagoneer can do really well. They've been missing out on this segment of the market, and because it's a Jeep, people feel okay about buying it. It's like it's its very own brand.
Yeah. Well, it's got a certain cachet to it. But, I mean, Navigator from Lincoln, Escalade, Cadillac, Suburban, these are all turning into livery vehicles, you know, like limousines. So this may be stand out enough, like a Range Rover, a BMW, Mercedes, whatever it is, SUV. But I think they have a chance here to differentiate themselves. And in looking at it, I mean, it looks pretty good, but I can't wait to see what the aftermarket does to it, as you know.
Well, it's funny. The back of it, to me, looks like a Land Rover Discovery, only with the plate being symmetrical.
Yeah. No, it's got, like, you know, all different kinds of, you know, cars kind of wrapped in there. You see a little of this, you see a little of that. I see a little Lincoln Navigator from a few angles. But, I mean, it's big. We're talking Jeep, you guys. Grand Wagoneer. It's big. 7-passenger. So, I don't know. I mean, would you...
And they've been absent from this. And as you said, they had the Commando. What was it?
Comanche Commando. I don't know what it was called. Commander? I don't know. It, you know, it's
just
forgettable.
It wasn't a very high-end product.
No.
Let's put it that way.
No, it was too... I don't know. They missed the mark with it. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's
so right. You know, and look, this is where, you know, if they talked about, if FCA discussed coming out with a new full-size car, we'd all think they're crazy.
Right.
But coming out with a full-size SUV, we're like, well, there's plenty of room, you know?
Yeah, right. I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that we say that.
It was George Kennedy was saying how it's got kind of this dual touchscreen system in it. And so I guess it depends on how high-end premium they make this thing and how many different iterations they offer it in, from the $60,000 model all the way up to the $100,000 model. So I guess the jury is still out.
Well, I saw that dual screen in the photographs. I think it's very smart. So the passenger can adjust the massage in their seat, the heating and cooling. I think that's a little overdue. I'm surprised nobody's done it because screens are cheap, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, all right, hang tight. I think that was funnier than heck that I thought you were in your shower there. It sounded like you were calling in from your shower anyway. Josh Hancock, he is the man in Hollywood, the Hollywood car consultant. He helps the filmmakers match the car with the character in all things film and television. You're listening to The Drive, and Josh is driving. No better time to do an interview. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Mississippi.
I'm shuffling through the Texas sand, but my head's in Mississippi.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. Josh Hancock is on the line. He's in his car. So the show is called The Drive, and he's driving. And he is the man in Hollywood that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. And but there hasn't been a lot of film and television going on lately. So, I thought I saw somebody was releasing a movie that they made during COVID. And I mentioned that to Josh during the commercial break, and he says, nope, nothing has been made. Television shows are all kind of on the kibosh right now. They're all, I know, you know, Kelly and Ryan Seacrest, they're doing their shows from home or wherever their studio, home studio is. So, Josh, what is the prognosis of any new shows?
Well, to give you an idea, any given day in Hollywood, there's 300 to 500 shows being made. That's TV and movies. And that accounts for everything in the studios and everything on location. So, and commercials, 300 to 500. Right now, there's less than 15.
And those are pornography. I know. I get it.
right now, most of that is reality, because reality is easier to shoot.
Right.
Reality television is much easier to shoot than scripted television.
Yeah.
And, you know, there can be mounted cameras, and actors can have cameras on them, and it just takes less. But there are plans. I'm talking to productions now about starting in October. And, you know, Netflix is the big guy in the room, and they're starting like four shows in September, four shows in October, four shows in November. But considering that they would normally be starting 10 to 20 shows, it's still cut back, you know?
Well, it's weird. I mean, that's why, unfortunately, we have to spend more time watching the news, because there's nothing but garbage on, because it's all reruns. We've either seen it or it's garbage. And So I don't know. It's kind of unfortunate in a lot of ways.
Well, there is something called a book.
Oh, that's funny. I'm laughing that you think I'm going to read. Anyway, no, that's funny.
I want you to go and get the owner's manuals out of all the cars in your yard, even the ones up on blocks. I want you to bring them in the house and start reading them.
That is funny.
It is kind of funny that we, you know, owner's manuals are still printed. I don't know of manufacturers that have gone away from the printed 100%. Volvo might be that case, because you can pull up on your big screen in your Volvo your complete owner's manual.
Right.
And I can tell you, there's a whole search bar and the whole thing. It's very handy to have it in the car on the computer.
Well, there's no question about it, because actually you can go right to what you want if you ask Google for the right thing. Give the year, make, and model. If you kind of have your question ready to ask Siri, she'll bring you right to the exact place you need to be, which is a whole lot easier than scanning through, you know, the darn thing.
No, that's not really true. So we'd all like right. to scratch okay. that from the record.
Well, let me just tell you.
Yeah.
You're full of it, brother.
No, if you're driving something that isn't a hugely popular automobile and you have some crazy question, it's not going to be on Google or YouTube.
All right. I'm just talking about the stuff that, you know, like how do you change the windshield wipers on a 2015 Toyota Corolla? Boom. There it is. And you can also watch a video. I'm not talking about where is the, you know, and actually I have found that if I ask where is, you know, the fuse for the muffler bearings, or if you ask it something weird, it'll, you know, it won't know what to do. So you really have to be precise, and you shouldn't do it while you're driving like you're doing right now. Knock it off. Gee, many Christmas.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is there's got to be an owner's manual. It would be great if it was on the car's system. Of course, you got to have batteries for that.
Right.
But I kind of hope that we're still going to have owner's manuals for a while.
Well, listen, like you said, sometimes, you know, you just have to spend some time in the book, and sometimes you can find it digitally. And, you know, I always start with the easiest way is push the button and ask Siri. If she can't find it for me, I'll be resorting to opening the book. But, you know, can't do that and drive, so I can actually ask Siri questions while I'm driving. Anyway, that's pretty funny. Josh,
in the glove compartment of the cars that you have in your yard and up on blocks, there's so much Reese's Pieces, there's Hostess Cupcakes. It's very difficult to find anything in there, because you used to drive down from Oregon every week to do the show. Right?
In a different car,
and it looked like a fast food commercial, that interior.
All right, you have insulted me more today than you have in a long time, and I want to thank you. I needed that. I knew it was a slap in the face I needed. Thank you, Josh Hancock, but it's time for you to go. We'll be right back. It's The Drive.
June. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track, as well as drivers like you and me on the street, for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo brakes. You can buy Brembo at buybrembo.com. Pretty easy. All right. Well, you know, we've been talking about this new electric Jeep, the 4xe, and they're talking a lot about it. And, you know, but they're not the only ones that make hybrid off-road vehicles. Perry Stern is joining us from AutoNXT, AutoNext.net on the web, AutoNXT.net. And I see that he's just posted something on social media about a BMW, and he's off-roading in it. And it says here, did a little exploring today in the BMW X3 xDrive 30e plug-in hybrid. Nice to drive through the woods in EV mode. So, being that I was kind of wondering that myself, Perry, how was it really?
It was very cool. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned the Wrangler plug-in hybrid, because that was kind of what I had in mind when I decided to kind of head out. I wouldn't say off-roading like what a Wrangler would do, but it's off-roading what an X3 can do.
Right.
And you know, going through the woods, it has, you know, upwards of 20 miles of electric only, and cruising through the woods in silence, except for the tire noise.
So what do you do?
It's kind of fun.
Do you toggle it to electric only mode, or how does it work just to put it to where the engine won't start?
Basically, while you can set it to EV mode, and it will do everything it can to keep you in electric mode unless you go full throttle, then it'll give you gas, a gas engine. It won't give you gas.
Right.
But the
it gives you gas.
When you're just driving it.
That was funny. It almost got
by me. It took you a little while there.
I'm looking at the pictures. That's why. Go ahead.
No, but if you just put it in automatic mode, I guess you could say,
yeah.
If you don't put a lot of load on the engine and it's still got battery charge left, it'll, you know, you can cruise, as long as you don't give it full throttle, you can cruise upwards of 60 miles an hour in EV only. Hmm. So driving through the woods at 25, 30 miles an hour, it had no problem.
So did you see the story where I had to go and do a welfare check on somebody out in the middle of nowhere?
Did you see that? I did see that. That looked scary.
Well, it was. But see, here's the deal. I was doing, you know, that one picture you have of the wood-lined highway or road, dirt road, you know, highway in the woods, you might say. But that was how it was most of the way. And every now and then, I'm honking the horn. I'm doing the opposite of you in your silent mode. I'm honking the horn because I don't want to hit a bear, because where there's one bear, there's more. I don't want to hit a deer. I don't want to hit Sasquatch. I don't want to hit anything. So I'm driving along, trying to make as much noise as I can, and you're out there doing the opposite, silently cruising along. But at some point, you have, you know, powertrain noise, you know, the wheels are going over. But, I mean, what was it like at about 25 miles an hour? Is it still quiet, or is it kind of feel normal at that point?
It's quieter than, say, a car with a big engine, or, you know, I've recently driven that road in a big truck.
Yeah.
And it was loud, you know, going through there.
Right.
But, and this one, you still got tire noise. It's a gravel, rocky road.
Right, right.
So, yeah, there's going to be noise from that. There's not a lot of noise from the powertrain or suspension, except for areas where the road got really bumpy with some pretty big potholes, and you could hear the, I wouldn't say creaking, but you can hear the suspension doing its thing.
Right, right.
So it's not complete silence, but it is quieter than it would be with the engine running.
Did you have any guilt when you came off of the dirt road in that, $55,000 SUV from BMW? How much was it? How much is that?
The $64,000 BMW? No, I was very impressed, because, you know, the road was not a smooth road at all.
Right.
But the ride was very comfortable. The car handles great. You know, even in, you know, on the slippery surfaces, you know, there's nothing you have to do. It does everything for you, and it's all seamless.
Right.
And when you need a little more throttle, you give it throttle and the engine does come on, but you barely notice.
Right.
Except for the tach coming up. So it's a vehicle that you can do some light off-roading.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to go where a Wrangler can go, but it'll go where most people would be willing to go.
Yeah, well, and therein lies the difference. And for some reason, people in these beautiful, shiny, pretty Wranglers that they buy brand new, they're willing to take them places that I wouldn't want to go. I mean, you're bound to get scratches and things. And Some people are just adventurous, you know what I mean? And I am, but I love my vehicle enough to try not to scratch it up. But that's why most SUVs never really go off-road more than what you just did right there. But is it so the BMW X3, X-Drive means all-wheel drive, 3OE plug-in hybrid. You know, personally, I'm glad to see that there's more of these plug-in hybrids available because it only makes sense. Like, why are you going to make a hybrid if you can't plug it in? Come on, people. And everybody's doing it. So good.
And the nice thing with the plug-in hybrid is you do get a certain amount of, you know, range of electric driving only. And for a lot of people, you know, commute is, you know, 15 to 20 miles. There's a lot of regenerative braking going on. So when I got in the car this morning, it showed that it had 16 miles of electric only after a full charge.
Wow.
But it ended up going about 23, 24 miles because of all the regenerative braking.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Now, the question is, how does it get up to 64,000 bucks?
Yeah. Well, it starts at 48,000.
Ah.
But, you know, this one also had the M Sport look to it. It has, you know, some of the other, it has the executive package, which brings in a lot, you know, the heated cooled seats, has the high end sound system. It has the driver assistance package. So it's got a lot of extra stuff on it.
Yeah.
But because it is the plug-in hybrid, it actually is eligible for the
rebate
federal tax credit.
Right. Tower, actually,
and I believe with this one, you can get, according to BMW, you can get up to $5,836 in tax credit based on how big the battery is.
Right. So that brings it back down under 60 grand. Still a pile of money.
It's not a big car, but it is a BMW. It drives beautifully, and it's very comfortable inside. It's, you know, easily room for four. You know, you can push it for five if you got a small child in the middle seat, and it's got cargo space. I mean, so it's a premium crossover that you can drive every day, and you can take it off road a little bit if you want to.
Right on. You looked like you were on the highway to hell, so I'm playing Highway to Hell there. The highway to nowhere, anyway. All right. Well, you can find Perry at, let's see, autonxt.net on the web, and we'll come back and talk one more segment with him, see what else he's been up to lately. This is The Drive. Hang with us, especially if you're a car guy or gal.
Miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at thedrivewithalantaylor.com.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and their new Outback. Go where love takes you. I love their slogan, you know, love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. My guest right now is a guy that I love, Perry Stern from Auto NXT. I love you, man. You're just a good soul. Appreciate you. All right. I know it's the end of the end of the hour, I can get away with this mushy stuff. Hey, so let me just ask you, I've been asking everybody else, what did you think about the concept? And I need to clarify because the producer keeps saying to me, hey, it's a concept, the new Grand Wagoneer from Jeep. I guess I didn't pay attention as much to the word concept when they showed it and when a couple of the other folks here have talked about it. But this is not the final thing. They're just showing us we're bringing out this new Grand Wagoneer. I'd just like to get your take on it.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely concept, but I think it's getting close to production. They've come out and said that there will be a production car next year based on the concept.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, you've seen how cool the grill lights up, you know, with all the LEDs and everything else. I'd be surprised if all of that made it to production.
Right.
You know, they haven't announced yet whether that video screen that goes in front of the passenger, which is pretty unique, if that makes it to production or not. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, it's supposed to be a plug-in hybrid too. I'm guessing there'll be, you know, some truth to that. But I'm guessing the shape and the overall size will probably be what the production model will be.
Nice. Well, did you like it?
I do like it.
Okay.
I like the fact that it's got that Jeep look, but it's not, it doesn't look just look like a big Grand Cherokee.
Yeah.
It's got its own look to it.
I think
I like the squared off design. It's kind of that, you know, it's kind of almost retro, but not quite.
I think it could use different paint schemes than what I'm seeing. That's why I like to see them on the street, because sometimes the lights, you know, cause a little bit of like, I'm not sure if I like that shape or not. So got to see it outside. Anyway, all right, I wanted to ask you about that. The other thing I want to ask you is, what's going on with the bus driver? Are you a bus driver now, or what's the story?
I feel like a bus driver. It's
side
like
hustle?
I seem to be getting a lot of vans to drive lately.
What was that Ford Transit? That, I mean, like, that thing was like a 27 passenger, was it? Something like that.
No, it's only 14.
Oh.
So I was just driving a 14-passenger Ford Transit 350 all-wheel drive.
Oh, my god!
It had dualies on the back. It was cool.
But so, I mean, what, ski resort? You need that's a side hustle, right? This is how you're making a little extra money.
I should be, you know, and because you can carry like five people in there and still socially distance.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's our job, is to drive everything under the sun sometimes. About 20 years ago, I drove the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier when I was doing some stuff for Motor Trend. So, yeah, I mean,
did you really?
Oh, yeah. I got to sit. Well, when you say drive an aircraft carrier.
Right.
But I did sit in the captain's seat way up at the high of the aircraft carrier at the highest point and watch the airplanes come in and land and do stuff. And they shot some crazy zip guns and stuff. Bzz, bzz. It's like, how fast are those bullets coming out? Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is the aircraft carrier of vans, the Ford Transit dually 14 passenger. That
you
could be
probably land something on it.
On the roof, yeah. That could be the oddest test drive I've seen on social media in a while.
Well, if I was a little better at Photoshop, I was going to try and figure out how to take a picture of myself in every seat and then show the van with me in every seat.
Dude, that would have been great.
But I don't have the technical skills for that.
Do me a favor. This is, we're coming up on the end. Give people a minute on AutoNXT, what they can find there, .net.
So we cover everything from new car launches like this Jeep Grand Wagoneer and the 4xe that, you know, you were just talking about, to new car reviews. We've got reviews of the M8 that we've spoken in the past.
Right.
We'll have review of the Transit. But we also do feature stories about, you know, best SUVs under 25 grand or, you know, worst car names. I mean, so there's some fun stuff, too.
Oh, wait a minute.
Lately, we've been getting into a lot of RVs.
I want to know, what's the worst car name?
Worst car names is great.
give me the one that stuck out the most, the Schnitzel Bomber. I have no idea.
Well, there's the Gremlin.
Well, that's
who wants a car named after a gremlin.
Right, that is a bad one.
But my favorite one, and a friend of mine told me once that this is what the car that if he could be any car, this is the car he wanted to be, is the Ford Probe.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I've seen some of the passengers that have been in some of these cars. I don't want any probing going on. Perry Stern, autonxt.net. Thank you, Perry.
Certainly. Always happy to be here.
Be safe out there in the gigantic Ford Transit 14 passenger. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week.
Black and orange stray cat sitting on a fence.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.